Welcome to the Unbound Healing Podcast. I'm Anne-Marie Garland, nutritional therapist and health coach at Grassfed Salsa. And with me is my co-host, Michelle Hoover, certified nutritional therapy practitioner and writer of everything you'll find at Unbound Wellness. Here we share everything about overcoming health challenges from autoimmunity to hormone imbalance and more, with holistic living, mindset shifts, practical tips, and a real food paleo approach. Remember our disclaimer, the content within this podcast is intended to provide general information and is not to be substituted for medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Now let's get on with the show. Hello, sweet listeners. This is just Anne-Marie this week. Michelle and I are each doing a solo episode, and then we will be back in about 2 weeks to return and do our episodes together. But for this week, I am going to talk to you all about learning how to hone your intuition, how to really be able to listen to your intuition. Now, before I get into that, I feel like it's pretty important for me to give a few updates on the podcast in general and where we're taking it from here. All right, moving forward, Michelle and I are going to be hosting just 30-minute episodes, and this is really just to honor our time and your time to try to be as concise as possible and how to be specific as possible in these episodes. That means that the listener questions that we're going to be taking are going to be a little bit more of a broad topic rather than being something that is really specific to one individual person. And I think that they're still going to be very relevant to you. You'll be able to take a lot of information. They'll be very helpful, but they'll just be a little bit more concise and short-winded and be able to appeal to a broader audience versus just that individual. All right, now I did have a different episode topic planned for this particular episode, but I am going with my gut on this one, following my intuition, and talking to you about how to learn to hone your intuition and how to listen to your intuition, be able to distinguish between that and your overall fears. First, before we get into the topic, I'm going to share what I am loving this week. And mostly what has kind of been on the forefront of my mind when it comes to research and just gathering more information is learning about feng shui. And feng shui sort of ties into today's topic because there isn't a lot of concrete evidence. There's not studies, there's not science that's backing these feng shui principles. There's not science backing intuitive principles. It's just something that resonates with me right now. It makes a lot of sense with me on an energetic standpoint and just where I'm coming from in my life. And so I would want to recommend to you, if you are interested in learning how to apply feng shui to your life in maybe a little bit more of a modern way, a podcast episode that was recommended to me by a friend and listener, and I am now recommending to you, is the That's So Retrograde podcast, and they have a very recent episode on feng shui with a feng shui expert, and it was really entertaining. It was great to listen to. It was very modern and relevant and just kind of some cool information. And then the other thing that I wanted to bring in that's also kind of relevant to this feng shui issue is bringing in crystals into my office space and how that has really helped make my office a very calming and conducive to creativity, and which is, you know, definitely what I need as a content creator, as a designer. That's really what I need. And I wanted to share which crystals I'm using and why and where you can get more information about that. The crystals that I brought into my office, because of the types of emotions and energy that I was looking to experience within my office space, was the amethyst. So I have a amethyst crystal, and then I have a clear crystal that I set next to it, which is an amplifier. So any clear crystal is going to amplify the energetic wavelengths of the crystals that you put near it, which is why I've coupled those two together. And If you wanted to get more information about this, you can actually go back and listen to our episode with Sarah Small, and we talk about crystals for chronic illness, so crystals for actually healing the body, and the actual science behind that. So I was a total skeptic before doing research for that episode, and now I am a convert because I've experienced it in my own life, but also because of the research that I've done. There's just, it's founded in so much science and physics, and it's really incredible. The other thing that you can do, there is an app that you can download called Stone, and it is really interesting. It has it's a beautiful app, and it's pretty simple, but you just click on different stones, and it will kind of give you the properties of it and how you might be able to use it. All right, without further ado, let's get into today's topic, the power of intuition and being guided from energy, and how to really be able to distinguish between your intuition and your ego or your consciousness or fear. Okay, the first thing I'm going to do is give a really quick background story. And if you know me, you know that I am not short-winded, but I'm going to do my best here. If you've been listening to the podcast, you know that I am currently looking for a house. I am under contract on a house, and we were set to close a few days ago. And what happened was we did our final walkthrough and realized that some of the primary issue that we wanted the seller to repair was not repaired. And it had actually led to other issues and bigger issues. And when talking to the seller's agent, we found out that the seller decided not to have it repaired because the repairman told her she didn't need to. But she didn't disclose any of that, and then the problem persisted and ended up causing more issues. And then, because of those issues, then we started to question, well, was it really the original reason that this is very elusive. Was it the sprinkler system that was causing this leak, or was it the rain that had happened the night before? So then we started questioning our original repair request. Was it right? All of that. And in the end, it came down to a matter of time. We were supposed to close the next day. The repair wasn't done. We then started wondering if a different repair actually needed to be happened in order for us to be able to live in this house. And so we communicated this with the client, well, technically the seller's agent. And to be quite honest, the seller's agent was very, very rude, not accommodating whatsoever, being very pushy. We were feeling very pressured to purchase this house, even though we didn't feel comfortable with it. And really, my husband and I ended up spending hours on, 2 days ago, we ended up spending hours trying to decide, is it our intuition that is telling us to walk away from this house that we are scheduled to close on, or is it fear on the unknown of what's causing these issues and if we would have the money to fix it? And in the end, we decided it's our intuition. We need to step back and let this contract end, even if that means the seller is losing time and money. We are losing time and money that we spent on inspections and, to kind of hold this house for us. But we think that it's worth it. I wrote a really nice letter to the seller detailing why getting this remediated was very, very important to me and the health of me and my family, and just wishing her the best moving forward and telling her how much we loved the house, but it just wasn't going to work out because it was too big of a risk for us. And sure enough, the very next day, the seller told her agent that she wanted to move forward with us and that she would repair everything. So she ended up repairing the things that we had originally asked, and now she is making repairs to all of the unknown issues just in case, which is amazing because she is putting forth this money even though we don't know if that's the issue. So we are still scheduled to close, and we are so glad that we listened to our intuition and didn't just give into purchasing this house, making this big purchase just because we felt pressured into it and because we had already put forth so much energy into planning our lives there and all of that. Okay, that right there is just one example that I personally have experienced in the power of intuition and really being guided from intuitive energy. But there are other ways that I've used this in my past. There have been like healing stories, and I'm sure those are going to come up. But I wanted to give you guys examples on how you can use your intuition to grow and to heal. Now, your intuition, if we're looking at this from a primal perspective, from a historical perspective, our intuition was programmed for us to grow and to succeed and to maintain our health and our safety. Now, that is where the intuition stems from. So if you're looking at this historically, our intuition would have guided us to seek out food sources, to move for new water, like to move our physical geographic location to find new sources of water. It may have told us primarily not to drink a water source that was contaminated or to not eat food that had spoiled. It may have told us to run from a predator before we had even seen the predator, right? So looking back, there were reasons why we are able to listen to our intuition more then during those times than they are now, and I'm going to get into that. But that's when we really are looking at our intuition, that's the power that it has. It has the power to help us grow, to help us succeed, and to help us maintain optimal health and safety. Now, the alternative, the counterpoint to our intuition is going to be our ego or our consciousness. And when we look at that, our ego and our consciousness is completely opposite. It is not seeking out growth. It is not seeking out success per se. And it is not seeking out, I guess in a way it is sort of seeking out safety, but what it's seeking is the same. It is seeking the constant and not the change. And really, when you're looking for success, for growth, and for health, you are looking for something to change, right? You're needing to experience that. But the ego and the consciousness is so rooted in fear, and that's its driving force, is overthinking things based on fear, that it is the complete counterpoint of our intuition. And it's really difficult then to know, am I following something that I'm listening to, this feeling, this gut feeling that I have, is that coming from intuition or is it coming from fear? And to really be able to make the most of life in general and growth and healing and success, we need to be able to listen to our intuition. So you can use your intuition to guide you in making important decisions and in guiding you in your own healing journey. And the reason for that is mostly like the way you can use this in your healing journey is to seek out certain practitioners, to seek out certain healing modalities, to find somebody who resonates with you on a deeper core level rather than always seeking out the scientific level. Now, you may search for a practitioner based on the books they have written or based on an article that they wrote. But once you start to meet with them, you realize that, okay, they have the knowledge, they have the credentials, but they don't seem to speak to me personally. And you need to use that. You need to use that intuition and find the person that is truly going to help you. So you need to follow that path. And it may not be direct and clear at first, and it may be really hard to find that path. But if you work through these steps in tuning and listening into your intuition, you'll actually be able to get there a little bit faster, a little bit easier, and over time, it's going to be so much more seamless. So it's really important, again, to just be able to distinguish between intuition and fear and going through these five steps. So there are five different ways for you to tune into your intuition. There are four activities and then one final kind of overall activity that you can kind of take part in. But these are all going to help you tune into your intuition. All right, so the first thing I'm going to talk about when it comes to learning how to listen or tune into your intuition is to first start out by proving your intuition to yourself. And I'm going to give you four activities after this one that you can do to kind of go along with this, but just to give a brief overview, these five ways that I'm talking about, they all work together. So this isn't like pick one and do it and it works. try to seek out all ways to engage in all of these activities so that you can really help to hone in on your intuition. So the first thing to do is to prove your intuition to yourself. And the activity involved in this is going to be to get a journal, get some type of notepad, and you're going to start writing down events and suspicions that you have when there is some strong feeling present. All right? You're going to write down what happened, what the feeling was, where you thought it might have come from, and what you did about it, how you acted on it. And then I want you to come back occasionally to this notepad and check back in with these different feelings and events that happened and see how they played out. So basically you're coming back to see how often were you right? How often were you so glad that you followed that feeling? So going back to my own personal story here, I am so glad that we didn't just give in to this house, or we didn't, despite my agent telling me, really, writing a letter to the seller is not going to do anything. I don't even know if the agent is going to give it to her. And because I wrote that letter, we still have the potential of getting this house. And I'm not saying that we're going to get this house yet, because not everything is written in stone, and we're still 2 weeks out from it at this point. But it's still a possibility, because I went with my gut instinct of spending 10 minutes writing this letter to the seller. So checking back in and being like, yes, I'm so glad I listened to my intuition and I followed that, and there it was right. And if you start seeing this happen enough times, you're going to start to be able to see, okay, what was the feeling I had? What was the circumstance that I was in? And was it right, or was it intuition, or was it fear that was giving me that feeling? And when you start to pinpoint the, you'll start to see certain similarities between all of the intuitive events, and you'll also see how many of them there are. So once you start listening to it, you're really going to see these things popping up all the time. Now, when it comes to this, I want you to try your best to make the important decisions that you have in a very relaxed state. Now, going back to our situation, we literally have 4 hours to decide what we are going to do with this house. That is like the opposite of a relaxed state, right? And I'm so glad that I had put into practice other things of honing into my intuition before this, so that I was able to make that important decision based in a stressful state and still really feel like it was my intuition that was telling me to do something. When you add in a stressful environment, it can be difficult to know if the gut feelings that you're having is the result of stress or if it's the result of an actual intuitive signal. But when you are in a stressed and a relaxed state, a relaxed environment, it's going to be a lot easier to distinguish between those two, the gut or the fear, the ego, the consciousness, or your intuition. Now, your cognition is always going to try to overthink your intuition because it's rooted in fear. It is always going to try to talk you out of that growth, that success, that risk that you might be taking. Intuition can really be telling you everything. Maybe it's the opposite of risk. Maybe intuition is telling you, there is somebody following me. I need to get someplace safe. I need to get someplace populated and someplace light, right? So it can be something that is pushing you out of your boundaries, and other times it can be something that is contracting, something that is pulling you towards something. But either way, your cognition is always going to try to tell you, like, oh, that person following me is probably just going to go to their car, right? That's what your consciousness is going to think. You're going to try to talk yourself out of it. If you have that feeling, get yourself someplace safe, right? You need to start proving to yourself through this activity of writing these events down, prove to yourself that your gut instincts do have merit, and that way you can help teach yourself that you can trust it fully. Again, so to kind of summarize that, your ego tries to protect tries to sort of shelter you and keep you in a constant, whereas your intuition is going to try to grow. So you'll see those differences once you start to write these events down. Now, to actually be able to start listening to your intuition and asking it questions and getting guidance from it, there are four different activities that you can kind of do within this, right? So you can do these activities and then write about them later in your journal during that step one of proving your intuition to yourself. So the first activity group that I'm going to talk about are introspective activities. Now, the first one of that would be meditation, and that is going to be anything where you are being quiet and present without distraction. That might mean like sitting up in your meditative spot, your meditative corner of your house, whatever it may be, with Palo Santo burning in the background, and you have like the Headspace app on or the Calm app on, and you are being guided through a meditation. But it can also be something where you're just on a walk, you're not distracted by any music or podcast that you're playing, and you're giving yourself time to just be, not to think through a stressful situation or think through something that's happening in the future, but just to be. And it's not that you have to push those events out of your head, but just seek out the calm, like, not worrying about it nature, right? Then I want you to, so another thing that's going to kind of be involved in this introspective activities is to really allow yourself to feel emotions and allow them to flow through you. So instead of bottling up all of your emotions, that's going to essentially be like if you were next to a river and there was a dam in the river, that dam is constantly recirculating that water. It is not allowing it to flow. So if you're bottling up your emotions, those emotions are just recirculating within your body, right? Within your like subconscious being. But if you are feeling and expressing your emotions, if you are releasing them, that's going to let them flow. So that's breaking down the dam and allowing you to release those emotions and have those feelings just be completely washed away, right? And this is where growth can really happen, because by opening ourselves up and acknowledging these emotions without judgment and allowing our intuition to guide us, we can really grow and succeed and have all of that success that we want, whether it's business success, success in finding love, whether it is success in healing, right? We need to be able to express these emotions so that we can release them. The other introspective activity that I would suggest would be to spend time outdoors. Whether that is like taking a walk, whether it is going on a run, riding your bike, it doesn't matter. But again, going back to that primal perspective, that evolutionary perspective, the intuition evolved as a result of needing to protect ourselves from these natural dangers. So being outside and detaching ourselves from technology and distractions, that's all going to help us hone our ability to not only trust our intuition, but actually to be able to hear it. All right, so that was the introspective activities. The second of the four activities I'm going to talk about is free-flowing activities. Now with this, you can, depending on your personality type, it could be anything like writing, coloring books, reflection questions, doodling or painting. These are all different types of free-flowing activities. Now, when you're doing this, I want you to do it in almost like a meditative state, so almost in an introspective state. You can ask yourself questions and listen for your intuition to answer. And the answer doesn't always need to be a written response, right? So maybe if you are the type of person that really gravitates towards writing, it will be a written response, and you can physically write down questions and listen for your intuition to answer. But if it's not, maybe it's coloring. It's coloring on blank paper within a coloring book, and maybe it's painting. But what you really need to do in order to get the actual response that you're looking for is to keep it free-flowing without any restrictions and without any judgment. So don't hold yourself back in your writing. Don't come to the table, to the drawing pad, expecting to draw a certain thing. Just let your emotions express themselves, right? The next thing that oftentimes people will have these intuitive encounters or these aha moments would be with repetitive activities. Now, many people find acts like cooking or yoga or dancing or running to be very therapeutic and inspire those epiphanies. And when you think about like cooking, so cooking, you're the repetition of cooking, like chopping veggies or stirring a soup or turning protein on the grill. With yoga, it's in, within a yoga sequence, it's dancing with these repetitive movements to the music that you're feeling and just expressing yourself. All of these types of things are going to lead to these intuitive epiphanies. And I'm sure you can think of at one point in your life where this may have happened to you. A personal story here was my intuition told me at the end of a yoga sequence that my current boyfriend, the current relationship I was in, was not healthy for me. That the emotional state that I was in because of that relationship was manifesting physically and harming my health. And all of this came to me in a yoga sequence, and I literally drove home to the apartment I shared with my then boyfriend, and we had been together for years, all back through college, and I broke up with him right then. It wasn't something that I had thought of before, but I trusted my intuition, and 2 weeks later, I married the love of my life. Well, not married. I met. And actually, I hadn't met. I had met him before, but I started talking to and eventually dating the love of my life and my now husband. So these repetitive movements, the way this works is they calm your cognition and your ego, which allows your intuition to be louder and more at the forefront. All right, and the last activity that I'm going to talk about are resting activities. Now, our dreams, like our vivid subconscious dreams, not like our goals, but our dreams can be a reflection of our subconscious desires. And those are without our ego and our consciousness coming into play. But the only time you're going to have those dreams is if you are in a relaxed state and you have high quality sleep. I'm sure everybody has experienced a time where you just get into a morning workout routine or you have an early flight and you are constantly waking up, right? You're constantly waking up worried that you're going to miss that workout class or that flight. Or maybe you have a deadline and you're constantly dreaming about work stress, right? So there are tons of things that you can do to prioritize high quality sleep. And once you're able to get in that high quality sleep, you're going to have these dreams that are a reflection of your intuition and your subconscious desires without your consciousness coming into play. So to do this activity and to make the most of it is to prioritize quality sleep and to journal in the morning to reflect on your dreams. All right, real quick rundown of all of those would be to first start by proving your intuition to yourself. And if you need help getting started, you can engage in any and preferably all of these different activities. There are the introspective activities like meditation, feeling your emotions and expressing them, spending time outside. There are free-flowing activities like writing, coloring, answering reflection questions, doodling and painting. There are repetitive activities like cooking or running or dancing. And then there are resting activities. And for the most part, I am talking there about prioritizing high-quality sleep. All right, I really hope this helps you. And if you put into act any of these activities, I would love to know how it's going. So you can always message me on Instagram. That's probably where I check the most. You can also check in with me on Facebook. I'm at Grassfed Salsa, either of those places. And then you can email me. But I just love to hear how this is going for you, how it resonates with you, and how it helps you grow and heal. All right. Ending this with our constant, the meal of the week. Now, with the meal of the week, I'm going to talk about honing your palate and doing that with a high quality olive oil. So here's another activity to do just for fun. But if for whatever reason you cannot partake in a wine tasting, or maybe you want to add something to your wine tasting, you can do so with an olive oil tasting instead. So I'm going to give you some different options for olive oils that you can try, different high quality olive oils, but olive oil is so similar to wine in that if it is a really good, high quality, appropriately aged and stored olive oil, you are going to be able to detect lots of nuances within that olive oil itself, the peppery, the lemony, the nutty flavors. And to do this, you really have to practice. You really have to hone in on it. And so you can have friends over, everybody brings a great bottle of olive oil, and you just taste the differences between each one, maybe using some gluten-free paleo bread, maybe using something else if you're on AIP, just a very neutral, you could do it on like different salads, but adding a little bit of olive oil and a little bit of sea salt, and it is just so amazing. So I'm going to include in the show notes a couple of my favorite olive oils, one that you can buy in stores, one that you can buy on Amazon, and I think that's it. So I hope you guys liked this episode. I hope it was still engaging, even though it was a solo episode, and I can't wait to hear Michelle's episode for next week. All right, I'll see you guys later. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the Unbound Healing Podcast. Be sure to subscribe in iTunes and leave us a review. Until next time, you can find more from me, Anne, at grassfedsalsa.com, and more from Michelle at unboundwellness.com. We'll see you next week. Bye.